Well, I want to say one last thing. You will have noticed over the last few weeks, our church is growing and everything's developing and we got new people coming, which is absolutely fantastic. We did our newcomers brunch just the other week. There was so many people came to it and still some people couldn't be there. We had a wonderful time at our worship thing. But you know, the next thing for us as a church is our life groups. So I want to encourage you. We've had a small handful of life groups so far, but we want twice as many. So here's my encouragement. I want you to pray that you would open up your home, possibly. You would offer your home. I want you to pray that you would maybe train up and become a leader, if that's on your heart. Maybe you'll say, I'll give my home, but I don't want to be a leader. Absolutely fine. Or I'll be a leader, but I can't do the other. That's totally fine. We will make all things work. So I want you to come and see us, come talk to us, because it's in those small groups, in those life groups, where even though things get larger, we can have pastoral care, we can pray for each other, we can be there for each other. If you, as Julie mentioned, sometimes in a larger setting, you get unnoticed, not because we want to miss you or not notice you, but because you get overwhelmed by the amount of faces. So in your small group or life group, people notice you, pray for you, recognize you, say, hey, didn't notice you were there today. Is everything all right? Come around you, be there for you. So I want to say to you that this is a big heart for us. We want to create more because we need them. We will be maxed out on our current groups. We already are in a lot of them. So we need more, and I'm praying that God puts it on your heart and also that you join a group. Even if it's not your home or you're not a leader, you would join a group because it's in those groups where great things happen. Well, just like the Lord, he lines things up. Andrew talked about new wine. It's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Amen. We did not confer before, but the same Spirit lives in both of us. And so he just decided to line this thing up and prove any of the doubters wrong that the Lord is working and we are simply his instruments and we just follow wherever he leads. Amen. So I want to bring you to Mark chapter 2, verse 22. We're going to talk about new wine. Amen. Come on. We are talking about new wine and old wineskins and how if we're going to have the new wine, we must have the new wineskins. Not something to worry about. The Lord's going to do it. We just have to let him. Okay, here's what it says. No one puts, and I love the tone of this verse that Jesus talks about, just to set it up. He's talking as like, it's obvious. You know, if you get a new thing, you need new ideas. If you get a new phone, you get rid of the old phone. You don't keep it. You know, if you get something new, you get rid of the old. It's just obvious. This is the way it works. He says, no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but the new wine must be put in the new wineskins. Do you notice what the Lord's saying here? Jesus speaks to his people, and he says, guys, not only will the old be blown up, but if you put the new into the old, then even the new is wasted. Even the new. Because you can't put new wine into old wineskins. It just doesn't work. And Jesus was coming to this new time, this new season, where before there was an old system. Before there was sacrificial lambs, there was sacrificial goats. You had to do what was right to stay in the system in the hope that God would keep you right. But now he says, a new day. And for a new day, you need a new way. Amen? Come on, if it's a new way, you need a new day. If it's going to be new wine, you need a new vessel. You cannot put the new wine in the old vessel, otherwise, explosion, explosion. And that's no good for anyone, because it wrecks the old and it wrecks the new. And the Lord wants to grab our attention today. He says, look, guys, things are changing. Things are moving. So here's what happens. Whenever you come to Jesus as a Christian, what does he do? He makes you a new creation because he knows if he pours his Spirit into you as the old, then what has death and life got to do with each other? So the Word says. So he has to make you a new creation. Nicodemus said it like this one time to Jesus. He says, Jesus, what do you mean? Do you mean that I have to go back into my mother's womb again? I mean, that's just ridiculous. He says, no, you are born again in the Spirit. And so what does the Bible describe for us? New wine, new wineskin. New you whenever you come to Christ. Not only does he fill you with his power and his Spirit, he gives you a newness in your life. You're a new creation, the Bible describes. And that's complete new. That's complete new in the Spirit. And many times your physical body begins to catch up. I think when I came to Christ, or at least I like to believe it, that I started to see better, that I started to understand things better, that I started to see where the Lord was moving. I became more perceptive. I understood things better. I believe when we come to Jesus, it's like our mind begins to lift. What does Paul write? He says that you would have the minds of Christ. It's obvious. You begin to change. Everything about you begins to change because the new wine can't go into old wineskins. So what's the point? Well, here's what Jesus was saying back in those days. He says, the old system was fit for purpose then, but it is no good any longer. It's the same as you. Could you imagine? I don't know. Let's go way back, and there was no such things as calculators, and you've got your abacus out, and you're trying to move a few things. I mean, could you imagine if we're still using that today? People laugh at you and go, that's for kids. It's not for adults. But back in the day, that was for Santas. Not any longer. It's for kids today to have fun. I mean, if you even pulled a calculator out, even Ian would laugh at you and say, what are you doing with that? You've got a phone. You don't need an old calculator anymore unless the school prescribes it and says you must have it. I mean, that's the way it works. Things move on. It's exactly the same in the spirit. When the Lord brings and comes to our lives, and when he came to the people on this day, he was saying, guys, the old system was brilliant up until a point, but it's no good for today. I've got fresh wine. I've got new to put in you. I need your system to change. In fact, I want to step on top of it, and I want to bring grace above the law. I want to bring grace. But it's not a grace that says, do whatever you like, it all will work out. No, it's a grace that says, I'm going to live just like Jesus, made in the image of God. How good is that? You can't do it in your own strength. You wouldn't even attempt to, because if you did, guess what? You become the old again, and the new blows up the old. It's like rock, paper, scissors almost, you know? It's like you have to get it right. The new wine and the new wineskin, otherwise it will just not function the way it needed to. You see, one of the hardest things, but one of the best things as a believer in Christ, is you've got to let go of your old life. Now, you know at one point this is easy. Okay, I'm no longer thinking about the old, but then you know on another point, that's actually very hard. People have a saying, old habits die hard. You know the way you just have a habit of you do this, this automatically happens, or that automatically happens? Or I used to be a person that held grudges. Well, not in the new kingdom. You know, in the new kingdom, that old will not do. In fact, the new you will blow that old you up and say, can't be at that anymore. Unforgiveness doesn't fit. The grace of God just blows that stuff up. Just bad attitude, but no. Things have to change because it's a new you for a new wine. The Spirit is moving in your heart. And he turns around to me, he says, guys, everything is new. Everything. The old is gone. The new is here. Church, I want to encourage you today, in a season where God's doing new, for you it may not be salvation. For you, you might have received the Spirit. But can I suggest to you that maybe there's still work to be done, and that's actually a blessing? Can I suggest to you that the Lord is continuously working in your life through a process of change, and it's not to be resisted at all costs, but it's to be embraced at all costs. Get on your knees when you need to. Get around people when you need to. Put messages in the Facebook groups when you need to. Because some of that stuff's not easy. Julie nailed it on the head. We want to be independent because that's the way we've been trained. That's the old system. The new system is, I need you, you need me. I need you, you need me. Wow. Jesus at the head. We're all together as the body of Christ. That's very countercultural to the world that we live in. Very, very countercultural. But that's what God's been prescribing since way back 2,000 years ago. The old system's gone. It's about you together in me, and we're going to do some great things. Explosion takes place if we put the new into the old. Have you noticed that sometimes our explosion is not a positive one? Have you ever been there? Maybe I'll talk about me. This is what I find. Whenever I let the old me try to rise up, I don't explode with good, I explode with bad. And it usually starts off a bit of frustration, and then I get a bit angry, and then it's like, boom, it's out. You know? And you might say, well, no, I never let it out. Well, then you just let it in, which is just as bad, if not worse. So I want to say to you today that when we step into the new, we are getting rid of the old man or the old woman, because the new wine changes everything. You are a new person, a new creation in Christ. But as process comes, get ready for some challenges, some changes. Change is obviously hard at times, especially when you don't want it, don't like it, don't seem to need it. But we need it more than you think. What does Paul write? He says God's taken you from glory to glory to glory. In other words, he's changing you, he's changing you, he's changing you, he's changing you. What a blessing that is. An absolute blessing. Now, are there some tensions along the way? Yes. Because, Lord, I'm fed up feeling this one. Lord, I'm fed up with going around this one. And he's going, well, just change then. Lord, I don't want to be humble right now. I want to be this instead. Okay, but the humble inherit the earth. It's up to you. Then you're praying later on, Lord, I need more, I need more. Well, I told you, the humble inherit the earth. See, the things of God are simple, but if we're in the old man or the old woman, then it's a constant frustration. It's a constant rebellion. But when we step into the new and we allow the Spirit to walk inside of us, guess what happens? We start to delight in the things that we used to never delight in. In fact, I love giving away now. Why? Because I understand the heart of God. And I realize that that's what he would do, and that's his nature. My old nature, give me, give me, give me. My old nature, I want, it's all about me. In the new world, with Christ flowing into you, I've got everything I need. How can I help you? Need a flat tire change in the middle of the night? You're going to get soaked? Sure, I'll do it. Without Christ and the new wine, why would you ever do that? You'd be laughing, going, good on them. I mean, that's our attitude. And so I want to encourage us today that it is a new wine, it's a new day, and the Spirit of God is operating in your life, and it's to bring you into a rich deepness and a rich well of growth. See, here's some of the change that maybe God has to do in your life. New habits. Habits are really, really great things, but they're also really difficult things to change. Have you noticed that? If you've got a habit of this one thing, to try to go the opposite way can be very, very, very hard. Almost seems impossible. Almost seems. Maybe you're a person that's always on time. Well, you could never be late then. You're always on time. That's your habit. But maybe you're the opposite way. You're always late. For you to be on time is nearly impossible. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Just joking, but pretty close. You know, old habits are hard to change, but when the new wine comes in, suddenly you realize, oh, wow, I'm different than I realized. I'm different than I thought. And that's why Romans 12 says that we've got to renew our minds by transforming them in the Word of God. Because guess what? Your soul knows, your spirit knows, things have changed in you. You just need this to catch up. You need this to catch up. And unfortunately, sometimes this, our brains, our thoughts, dominate every other aspect of our life, both spiritually and mentally and physically. And I want to encourage you today that the Lord is changing you perfectly into who you've always been meant to be. Amen to that. Amen to that. I want to be all that he's called me to be. Changes us in growing new fruit. Maybe you've started to notice this in your life. I'm loving differently. I'm accepting differently. I'm giving grace differently. I'm kinder than I was before. That's a great sign that the Lord is working in you, and you're allowing the change process to take full effect because he's transforming you. Now, if you notice the other thing, you're 20 years a Christian and you're holding grudges like you were a 10-year-old, come on, church, we've got to let this stuff go. You know, if you've been a Christian for a number of years and you're still struggling with unforgiveness, come on. The only person that's winning is the enemy, and the only person that's losing is you. And you know it. You know it. So I'm saying today you could have an upgrade. Today you could have a revelation. Today you could have a change of heart because you recognize that the Spirit of God is working in you. Maybe for you today it's letting go and dealing with the past. That's a really hard thing, but maybe that's very important. Maybe it's a change of heart and mind. Have you ever noticed that? You ever notice how you've got a real mindset on something? You've got a real strong mindset on something. In fact, it could almost become a stronghold, the Bible describes it as. But you've got a real strong mindset. It's just, this is the way. And then you get into the presence of God and you start to notice yourself less than on that position. You start to notice that the Lord's given you compassion when you had no compassion before for that person. You start to get some grace and understanding for people. That's where the Lord is just changing our thinking. We read it at the camp. I want to encourage you with it. They did a study not that long ago, surveyed a whole lot of Christians. They said, how often you read the Bible? Unfortunately, the study came back with pretty poor. Let it be not in this house, Lord. Amen? Come on, let us be hungry for the Word. Let us be people that train ourselves to read the Word of God. It's not just going to open. Have you ever imagined that the Word of God would just open one day and say, you're going to love reading me? No, you're going to have to train yourself in the ways of God. But you can because you got new wine. In fact, you're only cheating yourself out of it if you don't. But here's what the study found. If you read your Bible once a week, even for a few moments, not much change. You read your Bible twice a week, not much change. You read your Bible three times a week, just for a little bit, there's a blip on the radar. There's like a tiny effect in your life, tiny effect. But you begin to read your Bible four times a week consistently, everything starts to change. Everything. Because imagine if you did it 5, 6, or 7 days in the week. But everything begins to change. And what does the Lord's Prayer say? And we quoted it so many times over the years, I'm sure, in school. Give us today our daily bread. Because the Lord has fresh word for you every single day. And guess what happens when the fresh word comes in? When we remind ourselves of the new, when we remind ourselves of the new wine, it says this, 30% of loneliness in people goes down. 32% of anger issues disappear in people's lives. This is incredible. Issues and problems, anxieties and worries start to disappear. But this is the one that I love the most. Over 60% of people said that their stagnant Christian life came alive. That their walk with God just became real. That they started to pray differently, respond differently, react differently. They started to be like Jesus, who knew he did. That's why he said you need daily bread. It's why he said you got to eat every day. It's why he reminded us. Do you notice how he reminds you in the physical? If you don't eat within 5-6 hours, your tummy starts to tell you, you got to eat. You know, you start to dream of food. And isn't the Lord so kind that he would do that in the natural to remind us about the spiritual so that there'd be no way to go too long without coming back to the Word of God? And yet maybe the habit that you've built in your life is, I don't need the Word of God, and I get it sometimes. Church, I want to encourage us. You got to train yourself, because otherwise you're going to just fall susceptible to every single thing that comes when we are meant to be alive and passionate in the things of God. An incredible change when we begin to read the Word of God. Okay, let me give you three final things before our worship team comes. Number one, living in the old way. Please don't live in the old way if you're a new person. Don't bring out a calculator when you've got an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? Don't go and eat McDonald's when you can have steak every day. Come on. Don't go and buy a horse and cart. We went right past the Amish. They're beautiful people, but they're stuck in the past thinking that the past is better than the present. It can never be. Never, ever, ever, because you don't live in the past. You live in the present. Amen? So you got to get rid of the horse and cart if you've got it. For you, it might not be a horse and cart. For you, it might be some pair of shoes that represents what the Lord's doing. For you, it might be an old thought. For you, it might be an old relationship. For you, it might be an old mindset. The Lord wants to get rid of every single one of them. Because guess what? If you don't, explosion. Remember that, explosion. Anytime the new wine will come in, explosion. It's why so many Christians fall out with each other. It's why so many people have bad opinions about each other. Because when the new wine comes in, if you're not allowing the Lord to change you, explosion. Now, where were we meant to explode? In the world. Not on each other as believers. Not inside. We were meant to bring love bombs all over the place. We were meant to bring bombs of life and love all over the place so that people's worlds would be turned upside down with, I met a man at a well. He told me everything I ever did, and I've never met a man like him. Wow. Come on, church. If we could only grab a hold of this, everything would begin to change, and you would become a whole lot happier. It says, living in the old ways, you can live in the past or you can live in the future. And neither are the two places you're supposed to live. Some of us live in the old, and that's great. But what about the present? Because that's where it's really at. You can't do nothing back there. Some of us live so far in the future, we have no benefit for the current. We got to make sure we're in the right places. What could cause us to be there? Hurt, pain, worry, anxiety, all of those things. But I want to say to you that the Pharisees liked the old ways. And they wanted Jesus to fit in, but that was never the way it was going to work. For the new wine, it's a new day. See, the Pharisees loved the old days because they had it figured out. They had it figured out. Why do we tend to like the old ways? Because we had it figured out then. You know, it's even like the thing of you get a new job and then you could even talk yourself out of it, even though it was a dream job, because you begin to think, oh, but then inside I start to think about all the ways I'm going to have to change and I'm going to feel uncomfortable and I don't want that and I can't cope with that, and so I'll stick where I am. And then you go around in circles. I hate where I am, so I'm going to get a new job, and then I get a new job, and then I go for the new job, and then I quit it because I can't face the new. Church, let's not be like that. That's where we just go round and round in circles like the early days of the Israelites. But we are the men and women of God. If you've got a problem, on your knees. If you've got a problem, text a group. If you've got a problem, get some people around you. If you've got a problem, delve into the Word of God. If you've got a problem, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Because everybody else is going to have answers. Everybody loves answers. But I want his response. I want his answers. I want to be changed. Have you ever found yourself trying to patch up an old life with a bit of Jesus? It just doesn't work. You ever find yourself getting a bit of Jesus, and then you find yourself going, but I still like a bit of the old. Can I have a bit of both? I mean, I've been there. Maybe you've been there. I thought to myself, well, I really want what all God has for me, but I'd like to sit home on the sofa and receive it. And it's not going to work like that. I would like to have everything. I'd like to be used by God in every which way that you could believe or imagine or think, but I don't want to leave my house, you know? I want to go all out for God, but I want to keep everything I have. It's just not going to work. But if you could remind yourself that the new can't mix with the old, otherwise both get messed up, then you would allow yourself into the new and you would ask the Holy Spirit to come daily and you would say, Lord, fill me. I need more of you. I need more of you. And the more that you would get, the more you'd want. The more you would get, the more you would go. The more you would have, the more you would say, there's nobody quite like Jesus. I'm going to get our worship team to come. I'm going to finish off with a couple of more points, and then we're out of here. Can I say this, that what makes it so hard sometimes to move from the past to the present, to even think about the future, is loss? Or the idea that I just can't accept what's happened. I just can't accept it. I just can't accept what's happened. Think about that just for a moment. And think about how much of a trap that can lead for you. In fact, it could be so bad that you would dig your own grave. It could be so bad that you would dig your own hole. Could you imagine if anybody came to you and says, hey, I want you to build something, and you ask them what you want them to build, and they said, I want you to build a prison, and then you're going in at the end? The last thing you do is build a prison. You would take those bars and you'd hit them. Like, you go, if I'm building a prison, you're going into it. But how many times have we done that because of regret or hurt or pain or loss? And what we've done is we've said, I cannot accept it. And so what we do in turn, by ourselves, by our own design, is that we build a house and we lock ourselves in it. Or we build a swamp and we jump in it. And you never bring just yourself. You bring other people with you every single time. And all along the while, God's going, I can rescue, I can rescue, I can rescue. But you know what our response is? I just can't accept it. I just can't accept it. Come on, here's what I want to encourage you with. A prophetic word can cause you to fly or even sink. A word from God could cause you to step into your full destiny or could cause you to sink. How do I know this? Because I've seen it and I've felt it. You see, the prophetic word or the word from God is never above him. Because sometimes it doesn't pan out the way that you hope for. Or sometimes the person that you're trying to get to play ball with you doesn't want to play ball with you. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, you could find yourself in a trap going, well, God's spoken, so I'm not letting go of it. No, I say this. I say you hold everything loosely before the Lord. Because the Lord may have another plan. He may have a different way. You see, what we tend to do is we fully figure it out how we're going to do it. And then if he doesn't do it the way we hope for, then we're not happy. Or our time frame. Maybe usually it's time as well. I've been there. Didn't work out as quick as you wanted. You know what I thought, church? I thought what I wanted was that we would be in the new building by 40. We didn't even start the new building by 40. Why did I want that? Because as I thought about it, I thought to myself, I want it because I'd be able to say. I'd want it because I'd be able to go, look at all we've done. I wanted it because of pride. I didn't want it because of the people. I didn't want it because of you. I wanted it because of pride. Isn't it incredible that even a vision from God could cause you to fall? That even a vision from God could cause pride to reign supreme in your heart? Come on, the Lord is gracious and he is good, but the enemy is real and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the only way that I can be confident and sure that he does not take dominion over me or does not take control of me or even manipulate me, maybe a better way of saying it, is that I'm close to the Father's heart. That I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only hear what the Father tells me. I only speak what the Father tells me. I'm close to his heart. I run it past him. I lay it down. Every dream, every ambition, I lay it down. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. And I want to suggest it's not about you either. It's about a new wine coming into a beautiful vessel that God has created. And you are a beautiful vessel. But it's about the wine. Have you ever heard a wine bottle jump off the shelf and start saying, hey, it's all about me, it's all about me? No, the proof is in the taste. The proof is in the taste. And guess what? The person that tastes tells you all about it. It's the best drink I've ever had. They're the best person I've ever met. He's the best God I've ever seen. Jesus is incredible. He's unbelievable. That's how the story gets told. The old bottle doesn't need to speak. The old car doesn't need to speak. The old vessel doesn't really need to speak. Now, are we more than vessels? Absolutely. You are so much more than a vessel. But the word describes us that we carry the presence of God, and I will do so much better if I would allow the presence of God and the power of God and the wine to permeate me rather than me to use the wine for myself. I want to let him out. I want to let him out, church. I want to encourage you to let him out. Don't keep him caged. Don't keep him inside. I want to encourage you to let yourself out. Don't keep yourself in caged. Don't keep yourself burdened. Don't keep yourself restricted. Let him out. He's far too good to keep to yourself. Galatians 3:3, we're going to finish in just a moment. Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit, you are now trying to finish by means of the flesh? If you came to Jesus by just a word of yes, then why would you go back to performance? Why would you go back to, I'm not good enough and I've got to be better and all of this? Do we want to go for excellence in Christ? Of course. But he won't love me any better. He won't pat my back anymore. In fact, he'll just say, fantastic, let's go for more lost people. Because it's all about them. And so the Lord is here to encourage you and tell you this. Don't go back to law and heaviness and all of that. That's a mess. Stay in grace now that you've got it. And finally, this one, church. The new wine ferments. Maybe you need to YouTube this. Maybe you need to YouTube the process of fermentation. It's when one substance goes from one, or one object goes from one set of properties to a complete different one. It's where, if we're talking about wine like Jesus was, you go from water and you do a full transition all the way through till there is no water left and all that's left is sweet wine. That's it. It's the old and then the new. You cannot be old and new at the same time. It just does not work, does it? I mean, I don't even know what that is. Is that Casper? I don't know. That's just something totally different. That's not us. We cannot be the old and the new. You cannot be dead and alive. You cannot be caught between. Now, we understand as men and women of God that unfortunately we figured out a way to do that, because the goodness of God is on our life and he's made us far more than you can imagine. So we figured out a way, and so how does that look? Well, you know what? I get a little bit of Jesus on the weekend, and then the rest of the time, I just live my own life. I do this, and I do that. I have no real morals when it comes to it. I have no real transformation in my life, and I don't love anybody past myself. Come on, don't end up in that place. Don't end up in that place. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is flowing through us. The same power that Jesus has. We're here to do greater things. The world is dying for us. Literally, the world is in desperation for a man and woman of God to rise up and say, I've got a drink. I've got a savior. I've got a friend. But if we hold on to the old, you know what ends up happening? I couldn't possibly share because I'm not good enough. I couldn't give you anything because I'm a mess myself. What could I give you? Because what I've got's polluted, and I don't want to give you something that's polluted. Come on, church, let the men and women of God rise up. When that fermentation process happens, it begins to bubble. Things begin to happen. I want to say to you that when you're in a process of change, you're going to react sometimes. You're going to bubble over sometimes. You're going to have some buttons pressed sometimes. But you know what you need? You need the strength in God and the assurance of his grace and the assurance of his peace to go, that's okay. I realize that I'm not perfect yet. I may not be to get to heaven, but he's revealing some things in me. It's not because they're bad. It's not because they don't like you. It's not because they're ignoring you. It's because there's something he's trying to challenge you with. Because if you can't figure it out one-to-one, then how can I trust you with 10? How can I trust you with multitudes? If you saw my life 15, 16 years ago, I had not got what it would take to do this today. I couldn't have done it. Could you have trained me to do it? Maybe. But could I have done it? No. Because here's what I've realized in life. It's not about just what you can do. It's who you are. Because if you just do what you can do, go and do it all you like, but you'll be taken out. Because if you're not ready for it and you try to go and do something you're not qualified for or not called to, you will blow up. Blow up. But as you allow the Lord to stretch you and test you, that's what's happening in the fermentation process. Things are being stretched. Things are being tested. Things are changing. Things are bubbling. Things are being turned from one thing to another thing. You could almost say life is like fermentation. That's what's happening to us every single day. And when you get a glimpse of Jesus and understand his grace, guess what? You start to thank people. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you, because I could not see that in myself. I didn't realize I was mad over that. I didn't realize I was still hurting over that. We need to start to think differently, church, because when we begin to understand the work of the Spirit and the work of grace in our lives, even when our problems are exposed, we begin to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord it was done in an environment where it was easier or controlled or gracious, and there was grace allowed in that. But if we're going to be a people that every time someone has a problem that we're going to wipe them out, well, then we better go and do it to ourselves, because we'll never make it. But if we're going to be a people that has grace for each other and provide an environment where it's okay to show a few faults and wrinkles and problems, and then there's some people that's going to come around you and help you fix the wheels and help you fix the thing, oh my goodness, we're going to get better and stronger. We're going to get better and stronger as people. We're going to get better and stronger as individuals. This is what we're here for. Church, will you stand with me? We're going to pray. I want to ask you a couple of questions as we go to pray. How well are you letting the Lord transform you? What a crazy question to even ask a Christian. But unfortunately, again, we figured out a way to resist this change and transformation at times. We figured out a way that we just become the Christians that have got our salvation secured, but we don't live like it during the week. Come on, there's more in you. There's more in you. How well are you letting the Lord transform your heart? Can you see growth in your life? And I don't mean in a real cynical way or, you know, in a real criticizing way. I mean, when you're walking with the Lord, you just begin to change. It's just what happens. Your image, your appearance, your language, your attitude, everything. You can't hide it. It just happens. Happens in the natural, happens in the physical, but it happens so much more in the spiritual. Let's make sure that we're not self-sabotaging. Let's make sure that we're not getting in the way. Let's make sure that we're not promoting ourselves over everything else. Lord, I need you to come and work with me. What a brilliant prayer that would be today. Lord, I need you to continue to transform me. I'm not going to hide behind some weird spiritual thing. I'm going to start nailing some of the things. I'm this, I'm that. Not to put myself down, but because I know the Lord's already revealed it to me, and I want some people to come around me, or I need the Spirit to come around me, and I want to get changed. I want him to change. Let the new wine flow. Let the new wine flow. The beautiful thing about this environment and the beautiful thing about having friends in this environment is if an explosion happens, it's a safe place. It's a safe place. Lord, I pray today that all pride would go. I pray today, Lord, that we would realize one of the greatest weapons that we have is repentance against the works of the enemy. I pray today, Lord, that we'd all realize that, yes, I'm a mess, but I'm his holy mess. Lord, I pray today that we'd realize that the Lord is not finished with me yet, and it wouldn't be some super spiritual thing to hide behind. It would be like, I know he's changing me, and I embrace it, and I'm happy. Lord, I pray today that we would realize that when the Lord would expose us and reveal things to us, it's not for our bad, it's for our good. Lord, I pray today that there are people in this room and people in our lives that are coming around us, and they really want to see us succeed, not fail. Lord, I pray for a transformation in some of our thinking. If we need it, receive it in Jesus' name. There's a new wine in you that says, I'm so much happier if other people succeed. But it's not some weird false thing that says, because I'm useless and I'm hopeless and God wouldn't want to do that in me. It's a real pure, holy thing. I love what the Lord's doing in me, and he's changing me every day. But I'm so excited what the Lord's doing in you. In fact, I'm praying for your success every day. I'm spurring you on. I'm there for you. Lord, I pray today you're doing something deep in all of our hearts. Who has confused you, Paul wrote? Who has bewitched you? Who has distracted you? If you've begun in the Spirit, then stay in the Spirit. Please don't go back to the flesh. Lord, I pray for just a revelation of your grace today. It's not about cheap grace that says, I do what I want, sleep with who I want, do whatever I want, take what I want. No, it's a costly grace that says, I will live like him because the same Spirit lives in me. Holy Spirit, would you move today, filling us with fresh grace, fresh fire, fresh anointing, fresh power, able to overcome, able to lay down. Lord, give us surrender. Give us surrender today in every area that we need to. And allow us to lift up the name of Jesus above everything else, because you're the only one who's worthy. And Lord, let us be the people that delight when we get a revelation of a fault or a failing, not react. Because the Lord's looking to take us to a greater place, a greater place, a greater place. Thank you, Jesus.